So much of the talk in New York sports has been about how dreadful the teams are around here. Well, the Giants have been awful for years. The Jets have been awful forever. The Mets need to do more. All right, the Yankees haven't won a World Series in 2009. The Knicks have been bad, as we're talking about, for almost 20 years. Well, how about the New York Islanders losing their best player a year ago? Everybody felt spurned and upset. Tavares leaves and goes to Toronto. What are the Islanders going to do now? But what they do is build it the right way, bring in a GM who obviously knows what he's doing with Lamoriello, hiring the coach with Trotz, and look where the Islanders are. First place Metropolitan Division, 72 points, even better at the moment than last year's Stanley Cup champion, the Washington Capitals. To get more on the Islanders and the NHL, we welcome in NHL.com Islanders writer Brian Compton. Brian, it's been a while, man. Good to hear from you.
Great to talk to you, Sal. Not that they have much competition, but the Islanders are certainly the best story in New York sports right now, right?
Did you see this coming, Brian? I mean, I know that a lot of people probably didn't see the success to this level right away, but in the offseason, even with the loss of Tavares, did you see with the pieces in place with Lamoriello and Trotz that this would be a good team coming this year?
I thought that they would be a bubble team with a chance to make the playoffs, Sal. Nobody saw this. I mean, absolutely nobody. It is unbelievable what they've been able to do with Trotz at the helm. I mean, he's all but wrapped up the Jack Adams Award already as Coach of the Year. This was a team that allowed a league-high 293 goals last year, Sal. And look what they've done. And in the span of time that they've done it, with Robin Leonard, who's been one of the best stories in sports, really, coming back from alcohol and drug addiction problems and everything else, and Thomas Greiss, who was dreadful last year, he's been fantastic. He's got 3 goals in his past 5 starts, so they're better than the sum of their parts, and they believe in themselves. And I think they just took exception to the fact that everybody was writing them off the minute Tavares left for Toronto.
How much of this, Brian, goes to Lamoriello for bringing in the right players to get this team playing good, sound team hockey?
Well, it's essentially the same team, Sal, with the exception of Leonard, like I said, and grizzled vets like Val Felpola and Leah Komarov. Otherwise, it's really the same team, which makes this more exceptional what they've been able to do. I think what Lou and Barry have done is just changed the culture. Losing was acceptable here, I think, for far too long. I don't want to say country club, but it just a type of feel for a long time. He took 2 weeks when Lou first got the job to assess what was going on around here. And, Garth goes and Doug Waite goes. And, Lou says right from the shoot, we're going to hire the best coach available. And, 3 days after Barry Trotz resigns from the Caps, he becomes the Islanders coach. And it's gone swimmingly ever since.
You know, they bring in Leonard. You mentioned, though, a big difference. Goaltending has always been an issue or the weakness for this Islander team. You know, in the years they made the playoffs, led by Tavares, they had a good team. They had a good offense. I know they weren't clean, crisp, sound hockey team, but goaltending was the biggest issue. So Leonard, to you, made that much of a difference?
I think it's a sum of everything, Sal. I think it's the way that it's the structure, how the guys have played in front of these goalies. You know, bringing in Mitch Korn as the director of goaltending and Piero Greco as the goalie coach, the staff has done wonders with these guys as well. Everything has gone right. I mean, they had to clean things up in front of their net before anybody was going to get better between the pipes. But it's just the way everything that has gone right. Now, clearly these guys have made the saves when they needed to, but they have been so much better in their own end of the ice, and you're seeing the results right now.
All right, we'll speak about Barry Trotz a little bit. We're talking about Brian Compton, NHL.com, covers the Islanders. Talk about Trotz a little bit and obviously the difference that he's made. You touched on a little bit with maybe the accountability in the building. And that's what I mean, Brian. A lot of that stuff, the intangibles, you know, you could look at the players on paper and you could be upset that Tavares leaves, and you should be. The guy's an all-world player. We understand
sure.
that. But how could they be better when you lose a guy like that? Well, what essentially, to your point, is the same players. Well, obviously it's about coaching. It's about culture. It's about accountability, all those different things. How important has Barry Trotz been?
Enormous. He's been absolutely enormous in every possible way. You go to a team that hasn't won anything in a long time, Sal, as you know, and here's a guy with a brand spanking new ring right around his finger. Whether or not he showed it to the guys or passed it around the room when he got it at the end of November, I don't know. But You know, you're right. There was still talent here. Matt Barzal was the reigning Calder winner as the Rookie of the Year. He's been great, but it was all about, you know, little things like back checking and, you know, making sure that you're taking care of things in the defensive zone. That's where everything started, like I was alluding to before. And the fact that he's made Brock Nelson a tremendous two-way centerman this year. You know, Brock was the guy who struggled a little bit in his own end and disappeared a lot, even in the offensive end at times last year and in years before that. So he's just getting 110% out of everybody, and he has them believing.
You mean Barzal? How could you not? How about his willingness? We know how good he is as a player, but I'm interested in his willingness to be the face of this team after Tavares leaves. He seems like he's embracing being an Islander.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that the Islanders did at the start of the year, Sal, was naming Anders Lee captain the morning of opening night, just to alleviate the pressure. You know, the minute John walked out the door, everybody figured Barzal would be the next in line to be captain. But Anders Lee is a born leader. He's a great guy. He's a terrific player, scored 40 goals last year. He's got 18 this year so far. So to take that kind of pressure off of Matt with everything else that he has to do offensively, I think has really done wonders for his game, and he's learning from a guy like Anders as far as leadership goes, and obviously more than that, what Barry Trotz has brought to this organization day in and day out.
Do you think this team, Brian, do you think that this is real? I mean, maybe not to a 33-16 tune. Maybe you do. I mean, maybe you do think that's real. That's why I'm asking you. But do you think that this is the team that we're going to be looking at now the rest of the way that can legitimately compete in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Well, I mean, look, it's February 11th now, Sal, so yeah. I guess you have to, right? I mean, I know a month, you know, 6 weeks into the season, everybody thought, this team's going to go away. Look at these charts. There's no way that they can sustain this stuff. But they've gotten better as the season has gone along. We got the trade deadline about 2 weeks away, I think from today. So, you know, can they go out and get a guy like Mark Stone or Matthew Shane from Ottawa to bolster their top six if they do look out? So, yeah, I mean, I think it's gone from, well, who can the Islanders possibly beat 2 months ago in the playoffs to who the heck wants to play the Islanders in the first round of the playoffs? I mean, that's how entertaining it's gotten around here. And if they play their home games in the playoffs at the Coliseum, we don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. But, man, that barn is going to be rocking in April. You can bet your bottom dollar on that.
I wanted to get to that. Before we do, though, you mentioned the trade deadline. Are they going to be looking to add here? Is this a spot where Lou is going to be aggressive and try to go, you know, make a run right now with the team that he has?
I think so. I really, really do. And it's one of those scenarios, though, Sal, that even if he doesn't, I mean, if I'm one of the players in the room, it's not like last year where you knew that they needed help and Garth didn't do anything to help the team. Where this time around, I would almost take it as a compliment. Like, man, Lou really believes in us, you know, that we can get the job done. So having said that, Lou loves to win. His resume speaks for itself. They have some assets that they can play with here, so I wouldn't be surprised if Lou swings for the fences here in a couple weeks.
How great would it be if we got an Islanders-Maple Leafs playoff matchup and we got those? I mean, that would be incredible. The home games at the Coliseum. What has to happen, Brian, for that to take place, get the home games at the Coliseum?
Well, everything that we hear, it's going to be a collaborative decision between Lou, basically the Islander owners, and the league. From what Gary Bettman said during All-Star Weekend in San Jose last month, it's going to be the league's decision at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you would have to think that we're going to hear something soon. I mean, I think the fans certainly deserve to know where this team's going to play its playoff games. And, man, it's right around the corner now, right? So we'll see what happens with that. But as far as the Islanders and Leafs go in the playoff style, the way the standings are shaping up and the way the Islanders are playing, it won't happen unless it's the Eastern Conference Final, which would be, holy smokes, would that be off the charts. I know the fans would love it. We obviously, the Leafs are coming to the Coliseum here on February 28th. That's going to be an absolute zoo. John Tavares' first trip back here. So that's going to be must-see TV, no doubt.
Yeah, that is a must-watch. I got to get out to a game at the Coliseum. I mean, how big of a difference in atmosphere, Bri, is it? I'm sure the players love it. I mean, it's got to be tough for a club to be playing two different home stadiums or two different home arenas. But they have to love the energy that the Coliseum, the renovated Coliseum brings, no?
Yeah. I mean, look, it was supposed to be a distraction because it's different, but all they do is win. So, I mean, they just swept a weekend here in Brooklyn, you know, against Colorado, Minnesota, Saturday and Sunday. So it hasn't been that big of a distraction. Look, they're two completely different buildings. I mean, Brooklyn is, you know, you got the high roof. It's hard for the noise to stay inside. And You know, it's not built for hockey, obviously. The scoreboard's off center. There's a car in the corner, yada, yada. We know all the issues in Brooklyn. But that first game back at the Coliseum, Sal, on December 1st against Columbus was just off the charts. I mean, the people singing the anthem from the get-go. They fell behind 2-0. They came back to win. The place just shook to its core. It felt like the old days, man. It really did. So, look, and they basically play the whole month of March there, Sal. I mean, their last game in Brooklyn is this coming Saturday against Edmonton. After that, all their remaining home games are in Uniondale. So that's going to play a major factor in whether or not this team wins their first division title. They haven't had home ice advantage in the playoffs, Sal, since 1988.
Incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, you hope that they could continue this and get that this year and that the games are at the Coliseum. Is every game sold out at the Coliseum the rest of the year?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, there have been scattered empties. I mean, the first home game against Columbus, it was packed to its core. They've had pretty much, I think the last three have been sold out. And the ones that haven't, they've been awfully close. But I think the longer we go here, as we head into the month of March, I'm sure for everyone will be packed to its core for sure.
Talking with Brian Compton, NHL.com. What's the deal with the new arena? They break ground yet on that?
They are scheduled to break ground in May or June, from what Gary said in San Jose last month. But it's all systems go from everything that I've been told.
And then that'll be ready what season, 2021?
2021-22, yeah. October of 21 it would open.
Yeah, and it's exciting to think about the Islanders getting back to the island. Look, we hope that they can make the postseason here. I'm a Ranger fan myself, Brian, but I root for the Islanders. Being from Long Island, I don't know why I wasn't an Islander fan. You know what? I was thinking about this. I should have been an Islander fan, right? Grew up on Long Island. The Islanders were good in the 80s. I was a Mets fan. But then I was at the game the other night at the Garden, and they were honoring the 94 team. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. Give me goosebumps, Brian, to be out there to see those greats that skated for the Rangers in 94 take the ice there. So that was special team. Look, you never know what could happen. Maybe the Islanders pretty soon will get their own special team once again after dominating the 80s.
Yeah, well, listen, that June of 94 between the Rangers and Knicks, I mean, New York was a fun place to be that summer, no question. Yeah. Plus you had the O.J. chase, right, during the Knicks game.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know. O.J. took away from the Knicks game that night, as a matter of fact. The Knicks have been bad for so long, it hurts. I mean, they're irrelevant. At least the Rangers have given a little bit of a run, but, Bri, you know, it has been 25 years. That's a long time.
I honestly think, Sal, the Rangers are doing it the right way this time, and they've been honest with their fans that they're basically going to start over here, and they have some pieces that they might trade here in the next 2 weeks between Kevin Hayes and Matt Zuccarello, so we'll see what happens. And look, it might not take as long as it should with the way that kid Georgia played tonight against Toronto. 55 saves. He was unbelievable.
Do you think they'll deal Zuc, huh?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. He told our my colleague Dan Rosen that he would like to know sooner rather than later what the plans are. But look, I mean, within the next 2 weeks, he's going to get an answer one way or the other.
How long before the Rangers become legitimately competitive again?
I won't say next season. I have to see what they do here at the deadline, Sal. But they've got a lot of young pieces in place. I'm sure Hank will steal some games as long as he's 100%. So, look, they could be a wild card bubble team next year, depending on what they do here at the deadline. We'll see.
And what's up with Lundqvist? Just going to ride it out? He'll be a Ranger
he's
for life?
He's
going to
ride it,
it
out, man. He loves living in Soho and playing the guitar and doing his thing. He loves living here. He doesn't want to go anywhere else.
I know, but isn't that a shame? I mean, look, I shouldn't say that. I love having the guy being a lifelong Ranger. I understand that. But I am saddened that he's going to be more Patrick Ewing than he will be Mike Richter or Mark Messier. I mean, he's a great, all-time great. He went on runs to get this team in the Cup Finals, did all he could, but it's going to fall short. He's not going to be here when they're ready to contend for Stanley Cup for real, right?
Yeah, and the crux, too, of it, Sal, is with his contract, he's basically immovable at this point. I mean, he's making over $8 million. So even if a team wanted him, it would be awfully hard to make that deal happen.
How many years left is Lundqvist out?
Three, I want to say. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's three.
All right, and you think he's just going to retire after that?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, he'll be 40 by then, so, yeah. It is what it is, man. Look, he's had an unbelievable career one way or the other.
No, it's been great. Look, it was special to be out there, you know, watching that 94 team, and then it gets you thinking about, you know, the recent years, and you feel bad for Hank and all that stuff. So, it's life. It's sports, right, Bri?
It is.
Real quick around the league, why is Edmonton so bad?
No structure. There's really no accountability there. I know Ken Hitchcock cleaned things up for about a week and then things went awry again. There's not a whole lot on their back end. They haven't had great goaltending this year. It's just a mess in Edmonton. They really need to blow it up and start over. But even if they do that, so at least they have the face of their franchise in place in Connor McDavid. He's one of the best players in the league, without a doubt.
Yeah, I know, but it's been a disaster for two years
here. It's a mess, yeah.
Blackhawks, can they make a run after all the changes they made? Can they make a run again? They won seven in a row. Can they get in the
seven
playoffs?
Seven in a row? I mean, look, Patrick Kane has a 14-game point streak. He's playing like he's 25. So, look, they certainly have some talent there. And if they get in, Sal, I mean, the West isn't great. I mean, you have it's a very top-heavy conference between, like, Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, but I mean, San Jose, after that, it's a crapshoot. So if they get in, they could do some damage.
Yeah, the Pacific teams really wouldn't scare me. I know Vegas was good last year. I wouldn't be scared of Calgary, San Jose, Winnipeg, you mentioned, and Nashville. Those are the top two. But yeah, Chicago with their pedigree, you think if they could get in, they'd do some damage. How about in the East, real quick, Bri? Buffalo. You think Buffalo makes the playoffs?
No.
They're just not good enough?
Yeah, I just don't think they're too inconsistent for me. I mean, I'm not crazy about their goaltending either. I just don't think they have the horses to get it done.
They've been pretty good this year. Had a great run. I mean, 27 and 21 for them with 61 points right now. That's a significant upgrade for a team that we've been waiting to see take off for a while and finally have had a decent year. But, yeah, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Who's your favorite right now in the East?
Tampa Bay.
By far?
Yeah, they're stacked from top to bottom. I mean, I know Toronto is, you know, they got a lot of horses there now with Tavares and Marner and Matthews, yada, yada, yada. But Tampa Bay, they just don't have any holes. They're just unbelievable.
All right, so you think Tampa Bay is going to make it out of the East, and who would you pick in the West?
Well,
right
I mean,
now?
unless they play the Islanders, now, because the Islanders, they've outscored them 10-1 or whatever it is in the last two games. So, look, that's what I was saying earlier. We've gone from, who can the Islanders beat to who wants to play them? It's crazy.
Boy, that'd be something. That's going to be a raucous crowd out there in the playoffs. Look, the Islanders got to make the playoffs, got to get the home games at the Coliseum, and then anything could happen from there. So.
Sal, I'm telling you, they reek of Vegas from last year. They just have that feel to them, man.
Boy.
There's no, like, I know Barzal is a young star, but yeah, I mean, if they're just better than the sum of their parts, like I was saying earlier. It's been so much fun to cover, really.
Thank you, Bri. I appreciate the time, man.
All right, Sal. Great catching up. All the best.
Always fun. Brian Compton for NHL.com covering the Isles going around the NHL. Fun to talk some hockey right there. Get some education from Bri. Look, maybe the Isles are legit. I got to get myself out there to the Coliseum and check out one of these games and go root on the passionate, go root on the Islanders with those passionate Islander fans.